You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and I'm now joined by Eleanor Thompson, who is the Head of Policy and Public Affairs here at the RNIB, and we're going to be talking about the work that the campaigns team have been doing since the start of lockdown, in particular with DEFRA. Now, just to let you all know, DEFRA stands for the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs. Thank you very much for joining us, Eleanor. So I'll start with the main question. What have RNIB been doing around supermarket shopping?
Well, it was one of those topics I wasn't necessarily expecting at the beginning of the year that we'd end up working on supermarkets. But obviously, as with everything else in life, coronavirus has turned everything upside down. And very, very early on in lockdown, it was quickly apparent that supermarkets were, and access to food was a real, real challenge for blind and partially sighted people across the UK. It's that kind of perfect storm of social distancing, meaning in-store changes, new visual signage, new queuing systems that people weren't able to access because they were all visual, then combined with more people needing to self-isolate or who were listed as shielding, competing for the same online delivery slots that blind and partially sighted people might have usually used to get their deliveries. So, yeah, as I said, it was kind of a perfect storm that really made accessing food quite challenging. So that was coming in through our helpline, and we spoke to other partner charities quite early on, and as well as other departments putting together kind of best practice on things like enforcing social distancing accessibly, we realised that we needed to get something done at a political level. And so for the first time, we campaigned to DEFRA, who are in charge of food and supermarkets from a government perspective, which again is just quite unusual for us. And working with other sight loss charities, so Guide Dogs, Thomas Pocklington, Visionary and Vision UK, I think it was about 3 days after lockdown began, we sent a joint letter to George Eustace, who's the Secretary of State at DEFRA, explaining just how difficult it had been for blind and partially sighted people to access food, and asking him to take action to make sure that they could access priority delivery slots, because we knew that that was what our community was really needing from them at that point. So we didn't really get much of a response. I know there was a lot kind of going on with supermarkets in general at that time. There were obviously supply issues and things like that. So a few days after that, we launched a joint petition, again, with the same organisations. And over the course of 3 weeks, we got 22,653 signatures. So thank you to every single one of your listeners that signed up to that petition, because we couldn't have done this without you. So we handed that petition into DEFRA. And from then, that gave us a specific sight loss sector meeting with the civil servants working on priority shopping slots for people who were made situationally vulnerable by the coronavirus crisis. So Matt Stringer and I and our colleagues from across the sector went to that meeting and explained the really specific challenges that blind and partially sighted people were experiencing in store, and why it was really important that there was kind of a special route for people to be able to go through to access those slots. So the civil servants took that on board, and we also worked with people like the Shadow Secretary of State for DEFRA, so that's the Labour Party equivalent, to contact George Eustace again. So we put a lot of pressure on politically, and yeah, eventually we were told that we'd be able to feed into the scheme. And today we can announce that we are referring people through our RNIB helpline to prioritise DEFRA national supermarket slots, which is absolutely fantastic. So if you're blind or partially sighted or eligible to be registered as blind or partially sighted and you are struggling to access food independently, please do give our helpline a call. You might have had temporary solutions in place, but now we do have this other offer and we'd love to hear from you.
So for those listening, if you don't know, the number is 0303 123 9999. I'll give you that number again at the end. So Ellen, I mean, why is it that you decided to go to Parliament as opposed to just, say, going to the heads of the supermarkets? Why was it important to make this a political standpoint?
So it's quite interesting, and we did have some internal discussions around that, because We're lucky in that Matt Stringer, our CEO, is from the retail sector, which meant that he had some amazing contacts. So we were kind of doing a bit of a double whammy, to be honest. We'd created this best practice guidance that I mentioned earlier, and we were sending that to supermarkets direct to try and improve things like the in-store experience. We were having conversations with supermarkets behind the scenes directly. But in terms of the decisions about who to prioritise, a lot of that, those decisions, particularly in the early days of the crisis, were being made at a political level. And so it was really important that we did raise this issue with politicians and get them to take action as well, because obviously they have a huge responsibility to make sure that everyone can access food. It's one of our fundamental needs as human beings. So that's why we took the political approach as well.
For some of our listeners that may not know, there was a day put on by the RNIB at Parliament. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so obviously there was the election in December, and that gave us an opportunity to reach out to the new MPs, but also existing MPs, and kind of give them a basic understanding of how to support their constituents who are blind or partially sighted. So one of the things that we realised is things like social media posts that politicians might put up, they're not always accessible. And if you go and visit your MP, sometimes they ask you to fill in a form, and it might be a written form on a piece of paper. And sometimes they'll have alternatives, but sometimes they won't. So we wanted to explain to MPs what it's like to have sight loss, or give them some kind of experience using eyewear, and at the same time learn things like guiding about how prevalent sight loss is across the country, and also how to make adjustments in things like their social media so that screen readers can understand the images that they're sharing and things like that, so that they're serving all their constituents, not just those people with sight. So we held that event, and it was really, really popular. And there was some great work done by the team in doing things like teaching MPs how to guide around the cafe down in Portcullis House. So getting MPs to guide each other around, and therefore learning how to do that with their constituents. And from that point, we had some really great profile in Parliament, and 106 MPs came. So that's about a sixth of all MPs came to that event in February. So we're really beginning to kind of build our profile in Parliament and build up some really constructive working relationships, so that when we need to do things like this and we need to influence, that we have those relationships there already. And when we reach out to MPs, they know who we are. They know the trusted source of expertise. So we're kind of towards the beginning of that journey. But we also are part of a scheme which surveys MPs about how they feel charities are performing. And we were mentioned by 8% of MPs spontaneously mentioned RNIB as an organisation that had impressed them in the last 6 months, which is really, really great. That's kind of top of the table for all charities. So we've been doing some great relationship building work, and there's still definitely much more to be done, but we've found that really, really helpful. We now have over 100 RNIB champions in Parliament, which is MPs who signed up to support our work. And so we can reach out to them with things that we've done. So for example, recently we shared our social distancing film that you may have seen on Twitter, which explains why it's difficult for many people with a visual impairment to socially distance and how other people can make it easier for them. So we'd encouraged MPs and our champions to share that on social media, and quite a few did.
So is there a way that people listening, you know, blind and visually impaired community, can get involved and help the RNIB with future campaigns?
We would absolutely love you to be part of our future campaigns. So yeah, it would be brilliant if your listeners would sign up to our campaigns mailing list. So if you go to rnib.org.uk/campaigning, you can see the section there which is signed up to hear more. And yeah, if you sign up, then we'll send you details of how you can get involved. You can also follow the RNIB campaigns Twitter page, where we share the kind of latest ways to get involved. My colleague Zoe has spoken to you about our Protect Our Pavements campaign. So that's the main thing that we're doing at the moment. Is there are changes happening quite quickly to change our streetscape to enforce social distancing, but there's potential for some of those changes not to be accessible. So we're trying to influence now before the changes happen to make sure that they are accessible. And so please do join us and be a part of that. We'd love to hear from you.
And we, of course, will keep you up to date. And that helpline number, again, if you need it, is 0303 123 99. 99. Well, Eleanor Thompson, Head of Policy and Public Affairs here at the RNIB, thank you very much for speaking to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.